Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with & Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
It's straight up at 8 o'clock, a Wednesday edition on an ice-cold, chilly Laguna Beach morning. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed Show, as we do each and every Wednesday. We welcome the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services for the WealthWise Moment, Laureen Gilbert. Hey, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic, thank you. And I realized something as I was waiting to come on with you, that as you are on, as you're on hold and waiting, you're hearing the music in the background. I was playing some pretty wild stuff there, Brian Eno and David Byrne, for you. I was hoping you were enjoying it.
I love it. I was definitely enjoying it.
Thank you.
Not what I normally listen to, so it's kind of fun to hear something different.
Right. Every once in a while, I'll try and throw you a curveball. So I'm like, all right, well, let's see if she likes this. All right. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I know it's a really super busy day for you. A lot of announcements, a lot of things that you're waiting to hear from. First and foremost is the Federal Reserve making an announcement this morning about raising interest rates again. What are we expecting?
Well, everybody's expecting 50 basis points. So that's really not where the focus is on the actual rate increase. It's more about comments. It's more about listening to Powell. And the expectation is that he is going to reiterate a higher for longer scenario on the rates versus what the markets are looking for is the dot plot, and where do we expect rates to go down? So a lot of pundits are talking about rates coming down at the end of 2023. And because the market is forward-looking, even though the Federal Reserve is still raising rates, the market is anxiously looking for that dot plot, meaning where do we see the dots on their plot, which indicate the rates are going to start going down again. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but he's pushing against that. He doesn't really want the market to rally. He wants it to be muted. He wants to reiterate, hey, rates are still going to be higher for longer. So we'll see how successful he is in that message versus the market looking ahead to the rates going down again.
Okay, and as you're explaining that, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, it's a half point here, it's a quarter point there, it was 3/4 points a couple of times over on this side. But as I look at the entire year, when we started the year, the rate was at zero. That's 4% in 1 year, right?
Right. So this new rate is going to push Fed funds rate to 4.25% to 4.5%.
Right.
Which also means that prime is going to move to 7.5% because prime's already at 7.
Right.
And remember that most things that consumers purchase are based on prime.
Right.
So if you have, for instance, for anybody who didn't lock their mortgage when rates were really low and they're still on a variable rate, and I know somebody that just got a letter this week saying your rate's going up, to 7% because there's where prime is, right? And so a lot of people are based on prime plus. And depending on your credit score, it could be prime plus 3. So now we're looking at 10.5%. And if you look at automobile loans right now, automobile loans, especially for used cars, can be double digits right now.
So
that's going to slow things down. That's going to slow down the consumer from going out and buying that car or even purchasing a home.
Wow. Yeah. I could definitely see that. And I'm as you're talking, I'm feeling so great. Yeah, we locked in at just barely over 3%. And I feel really good about that.
You should feel excellent about that because those rates do not exist right now at all.
Right. Will we see them come back? Will it lower that dramatically? Just like most things, will it lower as quickly as it rose?
No, just like gas prices.
Right.
We talked about they go up really fast and they come down very slowly, and the same will be with rates. It's not going to come down quickly. Although, you know, we got great news about CPI, right? So the other thing we're going to be listening for with the Fed is, you know, they've seen some better than expected inflation numbers as those numbers start to ease. And so we'll listen to see what they're thinking with that.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, there's so much talk about recession, and it's very difficult for the Federal Reserve to navigate this soft landing and avoid a recession. So most people are expecting a recession, but it's the numbers actually came out this week that the number of people expecting a recession, and we're talking fund managers, has decreased from like 88% down to around 67%. But still, you know, more than half still think that there's going to be a recession in 2023. And I think it's going to be hard for the Federal Reserve to navigate a soft landing. But if they watch those inflation numbers coming down, then what they would do is start to ease those rate increases. So we'll be listening to see what they say about that.
Right. You're a mind reader. You took the question right out of my mouth. Thank you for doing that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You're also waiting on an announcement from the Securities and Exchange Commission today, right?
Yeah. So Securities and Exchange Commission chair is Gary Gensler. And he's been thinking a lot about changes that could be made in a couple of different areas, mainly on trading and how trading takes place. And just like any governmental entity, you know, they usually have really good intentions. And, you know, the intent is good. They want to help people, help consumers. Unfortunately, there's a lot of unintended consequences that happen as a result of government regulation. So while the intent is good, sometimes it doesn't always end up that way. I mean, I'd use the example of the gas tax that was recently implemented. I mean, that was initiated a few years ago and then went into effect this year. Who would have known a couple of years ago that we'd be where we are with inflation and gas prices? But it went into effect. So unintended consequences. Same thing with the SEC and what Gensler is discussing. The unintended consequences could be significant. So one of the things he's looking at is on trading and how is trading executed. And right now, there's a couple of companies that really are market makers. And they're the market makers. So other brokerage firms send small orders through those computerized market makers. And what the SEC is talking about is the creation of a new auction process where dealers could compete for each order. Okay. Sounds good, okay. Right? Sounds like it might be good.
Right.
The problem is that small investors will end up most likely with much worse execution. So the same people they're trying to help, this would actually hurt. Similarly, the other thing that they're looking at is those are stock trades, right? The other thing they're looking at are mutual fund trades. And mutual fund trading prices at the end of the day, right? So you can trade all day on a mutual fund. You're not getting pricing till the end of the day. They want to do some revamping on this. The problem is the way they're discussing this new proposal is that if you're in a 401k plan, you will be disproportionately negatively impacted. So it puts an advantage to the individual investor apart from the 401k. But if you're with a 401k, it's going to hurt you.
Okay.
And the reality is the smaller investors in middle America and mass America, they have 401k plans more than they have an outside liquid trading account.
Right.
So, you know, we'll wait. There's going to be the good thing is when the SEC comes out with a proposal, there's like a 30 to a 60 day period of time for comment. And that's when industry leaders get in and make their comments, make their case, say, look, this is how it's going to hurt. And they take that into account as they're deciding what they're going to do. So I'm hoping that with both of these issues on the individual stocks and with mutual funds, that they will listen to industry comment on how this could hurt investors.
Now, not help. As a financial advisor, is there a consortium of financial advisors that you are part of that would also want to comment on this and make your voices heard?
Well, absolutely. And so, you know, LPL is, I trade, you know, I clear securities through LPL.
Right.
LPL, we have a government relations organization. We have a PAC, and that PAC is local.
Right.
And then industry-wide, there's a number of trade organizations that would also be making comment. But even with this, I was thinking myself, I'm like, well, I would like to comment, you know. So I'm going to go through our various organizations to see if there's an opportunity. As somebody who sees this on the front lines with right. both 401k, because we manage 401k plans, and then we also manage individual investors, and somebody from the front lines speaking into this.
Right. Well, I got to be honest with you. I'd want you to comment.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Comment all you want. I would think that you'd be a great voice for them to listen to. I would talk about something that's been all over the news, and that's Sam Bankman-Fried, who was denied bail recently. He was arrested for ripping people off. Let me ask the question first, and then I'll let you go on it. Cryptocurrency. We had talked about regulating it in the past, and I'm wondering if it's already past that point. Should the government be regulating it, or should they just be banning it?
Yeah, I think it's too late for... I don't know how they would be able to ban it. So I think the next best thing is regulation. And this is definitely the impetus. They've known that this needs to be regulated.
Right.
What's so discouraging is that this is beyond the industry. It's that there was truly embezzlement. I mean, that's what's coming out. That's what came out this week, is that it is embezzlement. And that is what the current CEO testified this week, as he's looked into it, and he's an expert who helped with the Enron situation, and he called it good old-fashioned embezzlement. And so, you know, look, this guy's going to jail, and I'm very glad that the government in the Bahamas finally took action, because for a while there, it was uncertain whether they were going to do anything or not.
Right.
And then the U.S. has requested extradition. So we'll see where it all plays out, Ed. But everybody, you know, I think everybody wants to see justice, so that people have confidence in, not saying in crypto. There's a long way to go for anybody to have confidence in that.
Right.
But as far as a company like this that raised billions of dollars and then used assets there. And by the way, let's not forget this huge elephant in the room, Ed, that this guy donated $39 million to Democratic candidates. And mark my word, there will be lawsuits on that end for a clawback on the $39 million that was donated. That's dirty money that went into campaign.
Okay. All right. And I would love to continue on that vein, in that as you say, there's no way to ban it. If you got creative, no, still no.
Perhaps. I shouldn't say they can't do it. I think it would be very difficult to do.
Okay.
It's already, in a sense, you know, it's not like putting your money in a bank or putting your money in the stock market. It's not like that. You know, so, but what I think what it will do is it will give more confidence in those companies that are publicly traded versus this company was private, right? So a similar company that is publicly traded, and I'm not making any recommendations right here. Let me just be clear.
Right.
Not making any stock recommendations at all. I'm just making a comparison to a private company, FTX, to a public company, Coinbase. So Coinbase is a publicly traded company.
Okay.
And so that acts as an exchange. As a publicly traded company, you're under different scrutiny as far as what's happening with that company.
Okay. And you say $39 million to Democratic candidates? That's got to hurt. That has to hurt on the PR part of this thing. You know, the whole...
Let's not forget, $28 million went... And I'm not saying it came from this one source, but $28 million went into the local race for Katie Porter. $28 million. Largest amount ever in Congress history into any one campaign.
From him directly.
I'm saying there was $28 million in that one race. So just as a comparison, you know, he gave $39 million and somewhere came $28 million into a local race in Orange County. To just put that in comparison, most races are $3 million races. So almost 10 times the normal run rate on a race went into one campaign.
All right. Okay, you ready for your Rorschach test?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got some statements, just some general statements that I want you to kind of just riff on. I'm going to read you something that I was just thinking as I'm sitting at the dinner table. When it comes to investing, too much self-confidence can cost you real money.
Yes, too much self-confidence becomes, in a sense, feeling like you know better than everyone else, which leads people to not getting outside advice, which can lead somebody down the road to making potentially bad investment decisions. If you don't have checks and balances, you can lead yourself into, for instance, doubling down on a stock that's going down, thinking, well, I'll just buy more and more and more. Well, that may not end well, you know, so having outside influence can double check, and having too much self-confidence can end up not being a good thing when it comes to investing.
Okay. We know investing always involves risks, but people's desire to stick with the familiar or take the adage, invest in what you know, that can actually increase risk as well.
Yeah, I think it's an example of people invest what they know. So take, for example, the FANG stocks. So Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google. That's what people feel comfortable with. That's what people know. That trade worked for a long time until it didn't, i.e. this year. This year, that trade did not work. So it makes sense to go outside of what you just feel comfortable with to truly get diversification.
Okay. All right. Humans tend to pay disproportionate attention to bad news or high drama or low probability events. How does that affect investing?
Yeah. So let's use the example of recession because that's on everybody's mind. So everybody's focused on recession and what that means. And so for an individual investor who doesn't have a financial advisor, they may make poor decisions in pulling out of the market where, in fact, even though we will probably go into a recession in 2023 because the market's forward-looking, the market may start coming up before we even know we are in a technical recession. So you can end up becoming too conservative and making the wrong moves if you're just looking at the immediate risks. And there's always going to be the wall of worry. We call it the wall of worry. There's always a wall of worry of the things that we could worry about that would prevent us from investing soundly.
Okay, this is fun. One more before I let you go.
Sure.
So we all want as much information as possible, but is there such a thing as information overload, whether it's from data, research, or news? Can that lead to misguided decisions?
It can, because it can lead to paralysis. Just like in the last example, if you have this wall of worry and you're always worried about what's going on, you know, look around the globe, all these things, look at inflation, look at a recession, you know, and, you know, similarly, we can always worry so much that we don't make the right move.
All right. Okay. What do you got going on for the end of the year? This has got to be an incredibly busy time of year for you. We're halfway through December. What do you got for our listeners?
So, for a business owner, this is the time to write a check on state taxes and do it through the business and get a business tax deduction. That was that workaround that the state of California, I'm talking about in the state of California,
okay.
The workaround that the state of California did. So if you're a business owner, talk to your CPA about writing that check in the month of December. Another one is looking at retirement plans and maxing those retirement plans out before year end. So if you have a 401k, making sure that you're maximizing your 401k contribution. And if you're 50 years old or above, then you want to make sure you're also taking advantage of what we call the catch-up provision and making sure that you're making that additional catch-up provision in this year. So, you know, and it's $7,000 of catch-up in 2022, and it's going up to $7,500 in 2023. So making that additional catch-up contribution in addition to the regular 401k contribution. And then the other thing is, if you have taxable accounts, making sure you've taken losses this year on those taxable accounts, because that will set you up for future gains where you won't have to pay taxes on those, because losses go against gains. So those are a few of the ideas and the things that we're talking to clients about right now.
Fantastic. And thank you for that. And again, I promised you before I let you go, I had one more. Well, I have even one more question for you. It's coming up on the holidays, and you always make delicious items, and you've even brought some delicious stuff here to the studio. What's your delicious item that we're looking forward to these holidays?
Well, I just made an amazing butternut squash soup. So it's not a dessert, but it actually tastes like dessert, because you put maple syrup in it and nutmeg in it, and then I put a little truffle oil on top, and it is fantastic.
Yes, you do. Laureen, how do our listeners find you?
949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
As always.
And don't forget to have people sign up for our WealthWise for Women Facebook group as well.
Please direct them that way.
Yes. So go to WealthWise for Women on Facebook and please request to join our group.
Fantastic. Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial Services. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, Laureen.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great week.
You too.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. 8:23 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.